want to make mention before I begin the message, and you can turn in your Bible to John, the 8th chapter. Turn to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8 this morning. Let me make mention that this is a very different service from our regular service, and that we're emphasizing something that I think now has become to be realized in greater knowledge. Several years ago, when I first advertised a message that would be in opposition to the religion of Islam, many of you will recall that we received national attention. In fact, this church was featured in newspaper articles around the world. We had articles in London and other places that were sent to me. And there was a great controversy because people said, how can you condemn an entire religion? How can you say that there's an evil in a particular religion? It is interesting, we then posted this week on the sign the advertisement for today's message, and I have only received positive response. I have received no negative response. Now you say, Preacher, what do you attribute that to? I attribute it to this, that Americans now realize that there is something inherently wrong with a belief system that worldwide has engendered death, suicide bombing, and the strife and the barbarism that Islam as a religion has promoted. There is something at the core of this. It is not merely a fanatic leader, because there are many fanatic leaders the world over, whether they be communist or in some other form of religion or whatever it may be, political or religious. But it is not merely a matter of one religious leader or even just one small organization like Al-Qaeda or Hezbollah that is engendering this kind of death. Americans now realize that because this is so widespread, terrorism, fanaticism, the extremism of Islam is so universal that there must be something at the very core of the religious teaching. It is not just one leader with a bad idea. Listen carefully to the following sentence. It is not a misinterpretation of Islam that has spawned terror. I'm going to repeat that so you understand it. It is not a misinterpretation of Islam that has spawned terror. Those who promote terror do so because Islam is, at its core, a religion that not only promotes but endorses conversion by the edge of the sword. Most Americans were unaware of this because, frankly, most of us didn't care in the pre-9/11 years. We were rearing our families. We were enjoying the relative prosperity that is America. We were busy in other pursuits. And then all of a sudden, those terrorist attacks that seemed so distant to us because they were in far-flung lands, all of a sudden, they came to our shores. And they came to our shores not because America is prosperous, not because she is free, not because she is democratic. Those attacks came to our shores because Islamic fanatics view America as a distinctively Christian nation. Well, there are those today who will say, Pastor, the war in Iraq is not a religious war. I would have to say they're in error. Every dedicated Islamic believes firmly that the fact that Americans have set foot on the soil of Iraq is the declaration of a religious war. Saddam Hussein's army was informed that they were fighting a jihad, a religious war. We can say all that we want about the war not being religious in nature, but the combatants on the other side view it as religious. What is this religion all about? The message title today is Islam, Religion of Peace, or Is It Satan's Masterpiece? I want to ask you a question. I want everybody to be thinking this morning, if you would, please. And I may go a little long in the message, but just bear with me. My question is this. If the devil put together a religion, what would that religion be like? If the devil were the author, if Satan, if Lucifer were the author of a great religious system, what would that religion be like? Well, you say, Preacher, how can we know that? We can know that based upon Jesus' description of the activities of Satan. Jesus, and we'll get there in a moment, in John chapter 8, gives for us a picture of Satan's agenda. what is it that Satan would like to accomplish in this world? Now, remember something. The devil is very religious. Remember, Satan, the Bible teaches, was cast out of heaven because he desired worship. He wanted to be on the level of God. You'll remember in the temptation, when Jesus faced the devil in temptation, one of the temptations that the devil brought to the Lord Jesus was this. He said, "Bow down and worship me." The devil desires worship. The devil is very religious. The devil, Satan, is the author of all the false religions in the world, but I contend this morning that of all the false religions he has ever authored, with the goal of drawing men to judgment, damnation, and perdition, there is no other religion that is more geared to do so, more effective, and has had a greater impact on the entire world than Satan's religion, the religion of Islam. If the devil invented a religion, what would it be like? John chapter 8, verse 42. John 8 and verse 42. Jesus has been speaking to the Pharisees. He proclaimed himself to be God in John chapter 8. And by the way, Christian, there would be no question in your mind in regard to the nature of Islam if you understand the Bible's teaching that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He is God. When you understand that, you understand that Islam is a completely false religion. John chapter 8, Jesus proclaims himself several times, verse 24, verse 28, and on, to be God, the great I Am of Exodus chapter 3. In verse 42, we'll begin our reading there, John 8 and 42. The Bible says, "Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he that is God sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word?" Now look at verse number 44. Because it is in verse 44 that Jesus gives us the devil's religious agenda. Verse 44. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father he will do." What was he like? What is Satan like? "He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Now mark it down. He is a murderer. He is a killer. The devil comes to kill and to destroy. The devil is called the great destroyer in the book of Revelation. He desires to destroy both the lives and the souls of men in perdition. Verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Here it is again. "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." Now everyone focus up here. Number one, the devil is a murderer. His agenda is to kill. It is to destroy physically. Number two, the devil is a liar. He is a deceiver. His character is one of deception. The Bible teaches us that God is a God of truth, and that no lie is of the truth. Deception and lying are condemned in the Scripture, whether it be the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor," or the epistles of the New Testament, "Lie not one to another, seeing you have put these things away." The Bible as a whole condemns deception and lying. But Satan is both a murderer and a liar. Now, Jesus has given us that description of the devil, so it is reasonable to assume that any religion that the devil would spawn would at least have those two features: murder, that is the destruction of human life, and deception or lies. In your introduction of your lesson outline, and you may look at that if you would, I've written these words: "Evil exists in this world." No one in this room, I think, would disagree with that concept. For the secularist, that is the person who doesn't believe in God, he doesn't believe in an afterlife or a supreme being, for the secularist, evil is an abstract principle. And frankly, it is indefinable by humanist terms. It is something that they say can be overcome perhaps by education or economic advantage, and really there's nothing driving it except a misunderstanding or misinformation. A humanist has difficulty defining evil. For the Christian, evil exists as a person revealed in the Bible as Satan. Satan is the source and the author of all that is evil. Jesus identified then, as we've read a moment ago, the key elements of Satan's agenda of lying and murder in John chapter 8, verse 44. Islam, the world's fastest growing religion, incorporates both lying and murder as legitimate means of promoting the faith of Muhammad, Satan's masterpiece. I'm going to deal with them in this order. First, Islam is a religion of lies and deception, and then later, Islam is a religion of murder. Islam is a religion of lies and deception. Several years ago, when we had posted our sign announcing this same type of message, and it became such a public thing, there were newspaper articles, TV cameras were out here, on and on, radio interviews, on and on it went. When that was such a big public thing, there was an individual that came to see me. He called me on the phone, first of all, and he identified himself as a minister belonging to a Protestant denomination. And he said, "Reverend Monty," he said, "my name is so-and-so. I am an ordained minister of such-and-such Protestant denomination." And then he said, "and I also represent the three faiths of Abraham." The three faiths of Abraham. I said, "Sir," I said, "I'm not sure what you're talking about, the three faiths of Abraham." I said, "I know of two faiths of Abraham, the first one being the Jewish people. The Jews are God's chosen people. Israel is the apple of God's eye. By the way, America will remain safe as long as our foreign policy is protective of Israel. We must protect our little brother Israel." In Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abraham, "I will bless him that blesseth thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee." America needs to protect Israel. The Jew is the first faith of Abraham. The second faith of Abraham that came as a fulfillment and fruition of the Jewish faith is Christianity. Jesus is a Jewish Messiah. He was sent to be the Messiah promised to the Jewish forefathers way back, beginning actually in Genesis chapter 3, but the promise reiterated to Abraham and all of the progenitors of the Jewish people that there would come a Messiah. Jesus is that Jewish Messiah. It was also predicted in the Scripture that the Jewish people as a whole would reject Jesus as Messiah. And then we have today the Christian era where folks trust Christ as their Savior, the Jewish Messiah who died on the cross for their sins. We come and trust Christ and we are called Christian. Now it is interesting, the Apostle Paul says that the wild olive branch that is representative of Gentile people, if you're not Jewish this morning, you are a Gentile. That wild olive branch, Gentile people, most of the people, if not all the people in this room, are Gentile people, that Gentile people is grafted in to the tree of belief, the Jewish tree of belief, so that Jew, saved Jew by faith in the promise of the coming Messiah, saved Jew and born again Christian are grafted together in a tree of faith and belief to be the people of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Those are two faiths of Abraham. But this man said, "I represent three faiths." I said, "I understand the two faiths. What's the third?" He said, "The third is Islam." This is an ordained Protestant minister. Ladies and gentlemen, Islam has absolutely no connection to Old Testament or New Testament truth. Understand that the revelations of the Quran given by a demon to Muhammad, we'll get into that in a minute, given by a demon to Muhammad were given 600 years after the close of the New Testament canon. There is no organic connection between the beliefs of this initially Bedouin prophet in the Saudi Arabian principle and Jewish folks and Christian folks as the Bible describes us. Islam is a religion of lies. What does it lie about? Christian, listen carefully. Islam lies about the person of Christ. Someone said, oh, Pastor, Jesus is mentioned in the Quran. You are absolutely correct. Jesus is mentioned numerous times in the Quran, but it is not the Jesus of the Bible. This is where the deception comes into play. Point number one, though stating that Christ was virgin-born, and by the way, the Quran teaches that Jesus was born of a virgin. The Quran emphatically teaches, however, that he was not conceived by God. Muslims theorize that perhaps it was an angelic being, or some say it was just the spoken word of Allah that created Christ, but they are emphatic to say that Jesus Christ, though virgin-born, was not a product of conception of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible in Luke 1:35 is emphatic that the Spirit of God came upon Mary and that that holy thing that was conceived in her was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the God-man. That is forbidden in Islam. I referenced a moment ago the temptation of Christ. The devil came to Christ and said, all the nations of the world will I give to you if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus quoted the scripture, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He rejected the temptation. Follow me carefully. Ever since then, every cult and false religion has lied about the person of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian in the room this morning, you worship Jesus Christ as God. It is the devil's goal to dethrone Christ as God, to receive worship for himself. And so Islamics lie about the person of Christ because they say he was not conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. The Quran, in fact, repeatedly calls Jesus the Son of Mary, downplaying and denying the biblical title, the Son of God. You say, preacher, why do they do that? Because one of the major tenets of the religion of Islam is that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God because God has no son. Listen carefully. Islam teaches that the most severe sin you can commit is to proclaim that God has a son. If you were to go visit the blasphemous shrine of the Dome of the Rock located on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and you were to walk into that old shrine that is now revered so by the Muslims, you would see as you walk through the main entrance, say, verses in Arabic that are inscribed into the very stone of the shrine as you would walk under the door. You probably couldn't read it because you can't read Arabic, but for centuries, the words inscribed above that blasphemous shrine are these words, God has no son. That is exactly what Satan wants to lie about. The Quran denies that Christ is the Son of God. Now, I'm giving you references. Here is why I've given you a handout. Because sometimes folks say, well, preacher, I need the references. I need, can you give me this verse? The handout today is so that you have all the references so that you can tell other folks about this and explain it to them and use the quotations, if you will. Let's run through these quickly. The Quran denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Quote, Surah 19, verse 88. This is from the Quran. Those who say, quote, the Lord of mercy has begotten a son, we would all say that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We would all say that. The Quran says, those who say that the Lord of mercy has begotten a son preach a monstrous falsehood at which the very heavens might crack and earth splinter asunder, the mountains crumble to dust. Do you see how that is an attack on Christianity? And Jesus Christ is the Son of God? This has the fingerprints of Satan all over it. The next quotation, Surah 4, verse 171. Jesus, son of Mary, was no more than God's apostle, and his word which he cast to Mary, a spirit from him. So believe in God and his apostles, and do not say three. In other words, do not believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Do not believe in the Trinity. Do not say three. God is but one. God forbid that he should have a son. Do you see this? Folks who are Christians, do you understand that how Satan himself, in inspiring this religion, does away with the very core of salvation, which is that God became man and justified us when he died on Calvary's cross, that the sinless Son of God, when he died, paid the full penalty and the full debt? You deny Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and you have no salvation. I've given you a quotation. Point C is from the Bible. The Bible condemns as liars those who deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You say, Pastor, the word liar is a strong word. It is a Bible word. 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Does everyone see that? The religion of Islam is labeled by the Bible as an Antichrist religion because they deny the Father and the Son. Everyone understand that, please? That means that if a person subscribes to the religion of Islam and denies Jesus as the Son of God, the Bible, not this preacher, but the Bible has labeled that individual as a liar. And I see the fingerprints of Satan over the religion of Islam. Point number four, the Quran denies the biblical doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. Look at the Quran quotation above, Surah 4:171. Jesus, son of Mary, was no more than God's apostle. A denial of his deity. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Jesus said in John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. 2 weeks ago in this church, I preached a message entitled Identifying Jesus. We spoke of his deity, that he is God come in the flesh. When we worship in a Christian church, a Bible-believing church, we are worshiping Jesus Christ as the Son of God and God the Son. God come in human form in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, you may order the message from 2 weeks ago or get it on the internet. Either way, if you'd like to hear more about that. The Quran denies that. Jesus, in Islamic teaching, was a prophet. But he was not the Son of God, and he was certainly not God the Son. And so a religious teacher of Islam called an imam several years ago went to a church near Chicago, the large Willow Creek Community Church near Chicago. He was invited there very unwisely by the pastor of that church, and this imam stood up in the pulpit, and he said to this vast congregation, one of America's largest churches, it's an evangelical church, he said to this vast congregation, he said, we believe in Jesus, this Islamic cleric said. He said, we believe in Jesus. In fact, we believe in him more than you do. And his statement was never challenged. While they use the name Jesus in the writings of Muhammad and the Quran, it is not the Jesus of the Bible. They believe in him only as a prophet. He was not the Son of God, and he was not God the Son. Does everyone follow me? There is enough truth, the name of Jesus, mixed into a religion of error to confuse those who are unwise or unknowledgeable about scriptural doctrine. Again, the fingerprints of the devil are all over this religion. Point five, the Quran denies the Christian concept of the Trinity. Interesting. Remember, we read the verse from the Quran, don't say that there are three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, Christian Orthodox Bible Christians, I don't care what denomination you are, Orthodox Bible Christians all believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All believe in that, regardless of what denomination. If you're an Orthodox believer, a Bible believer, that is what you accept. It is interesting. Muhammad himself had some contact with Christians, but didn't know a lot about Christian doctrine. And in the Quran, he tries to talk about Christian doctrine, and he says, we don't believe in a Trinity. And then he says, the Christians believe in a Trinity, but here's what the Trinity he identifies as. The Trinity he identifies as God the Father, God the Mother, and God the Son. No Christian group has ever identified the Trinity as God the Father, God the Mother, and God the Son. This was just a misunderstanding that Muhammad had, but of course he received that via inspiration, he says, from Allah. They deny the concept of the Trinity. Point six, Mary is identified in the Quran as the sister of Aaron, Surah 19:28. Well, why is that important? It's possible that this is a subtle denial of Christ's right to the Davidic throne, because Christ came through the tribe of Judah, one from the tribe of Aaron would not have a right to the Davidic throne, and it is possible that the devil inserted this into that religion in order to say Jesus Christ has no right to David's throne. Why? Because David's throne is Jewish. Understand here that Islam is a religion of deception and denial. It seeks to remodel the Bible stories of the Old Testament. It seeks to place words into the mouth of Jesus that he never spoke. By the way, written 6 centuries after the life of the apostles, Muhammad put words in the mouth of Christ that he never spoke, and he lied about the person of Jesus Christ. Every false cult is based on lies about the person of Jesus Christ. Islam is a lying religion. What else does it lie about? It lies about Christ in his person. Secondly, it lies about Christ in his work. What is the work of Christ? The mission he came to accomplish. Islam and the Quran, by the way, talks about the gospel. The word gospel is in the Quran. Oh, Pastor, the word gospel is in the Quran. It must be a good religion, huh? No. Again, the devil baits people with that. Let's look at the quotation from the Quran regarding the gospel. Surah 5, verse 46. Quote, "The gospel is guidance and a light, confirming that which was revealed before in the Torah, a guidance and an admonition to those who ward off evil." Oh, that's nice. The gospel is guidance and a light. Look this way, please. No one was ever saved by guidance and a light. What is the gospel? The Apostle Paul identified the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, as these three elements, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is the good news that we preach? We preach that Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God and God the Son, came to this world that He ministered, that He died on Calvary's cross. When He died, He was bearing my sins. He was bearing your sins. He took the place and the punishment that I deserve, the place and the punishment that you deserve. When He died on the cross, He was shedding His blood for our sins. They buried Him in a borrowed tomb. But thanks be to God, He didn't stay in that tomb, because the Bible says on the third day, Jesus rose victorious. That is the good news. My living Savior died, and He lives again. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, because He lives again, we too shall live. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the gospel. Watch this. Satan, in his deceptive power, slips the word gospel into the Quran, and people who are not wise, people who are not educated, people who don't understand, say, oh, the word gospel is a good word. It must be okay. I see the fingerprints of Satan all about that. Islam also lies about the crucifixion of Christ. Oh, this is key. The Quran teaches that the crucifixion of Christ was an illusion believed on by the Jews, but it never actually happened. Did you know that? Now follow me, please. The Jesus of the Quran is not God the Son. The Jesus of the Quran is not the Son of God. The Jesus of the Quran was never crucified. Surah, chapter 4, verse 157, 158. Quote, "They, the Jews, did not kill Him, Christ, nor did they crucify Him, but they thought they did. They did not slay Him for certain." Listen to that. The Quran later teaches that Jesus never died, but that He was translated into heaven. Now pause there for a moment with me. The entire New Testament is replete with the teaching that Jesus Christ died on the cross. You can't get away from it. The cross is spoken of. The Gospels speak of His crucifixion. Paul bases our salvation on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the New Testament. The Old Testament predicted that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be, according to the words of Isaiah 53, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. Old and New Testament agree. The Old Testament prophesies that Jesus, the Messiah, would be slain for the sins of mankind. The New Testament says that the purpose of Jesus' crucifixion, it was not just a martyrdom, but when Jesus died, He died in the will of God as the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world for the sins of all mankind. He was crucified he physically died. But yet the Quran teaches that no, he didn't really die. It was merely an illusion. The fingerprints of Satan. Do away with the death of Jesus Christ and you have not your sins forgiven. Take away the death of Jesus Christ and there is no shed blood under which your sins can be plunged. Remove the sacrificial lamb from Calvary's cross by saying it never occurred. And the most significant event in human history is muted and destroyed. I see the fingerprints of Satan all over this. Islam also lies about the resurrection of Christ. This is very simple. Islam not only denies the crucifixion, but the Quran teaches that Jesus never died. He was miraculously translated to heaven. Without his death, there could be no resurrection. Thus, Satan, through the doctrines of Islam, denies the central truth of Christianity, Jesus' resurrection. He never died. He never rose again. And Satan takes, as it were, a cannon and shoots at the heart of the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he convinces millions of people the world over. Millions, billions of people who are adherents to the religion of Islam. He convinces them that Jesus never died, that Jesus never rose again, that Jesus was not the Son of God, that Jesus was not God the Son. And in that religion, the entire force, warp, and woof of the gospel is gutted by the hand of Satan to the deceiving of millions. Does everyone understand that these religions, this religion of Islam, is completely incompatible with Christian teaching? That the Jesus mentioned in the Quran is not the Jesus of the Bible? But we said a moment ago that one of the devils on his agenda is the concept of lying and deception. Jesus said that the devil is the father of lies. We've examined some lies that the devil has told about Christ in the teachings of Muhammad. But what about Muhammad himself? Was he really a paragon of virtue, or was he just another liar? It will amaze you to know that not only does the religion of Islam condone lying under certain circumstances, but it requires lying under certain circumstances. Let's examine this. Muhammad, in the Quran, permitted his followers to lie under three circumstances. Circumstance number one, during war. Any dedicated Muslim knows the quotation of Muhammad, "War is deceit." During a time of war, you can lie. And it doesn't matter what you lie about, you can even lie about your religion. The specific permission is given to lying about your religion. But it's during a time of war. Oh, Pastor, but you know the war's over in Iraq. We're not in a state of war. Please listen carefully. According to Muhammad's teaching, there are only two realms of existence in this world. One realm of existence is called the House of Peace. You say, Preacher, what is the House of Peace? The House of Peace is not where peace exists, to where there is no conflict, but rather the House of Peace, as taught by Islam, is wherever Sharia law, that is Islamic law, prevails. Any nation that gives homage and follows Islamic law and is an Islamic nation, they are considered the House of Peace, as long as they follow that law very closely. Anywhere else in the world, there's another title given, is called the House of War. Whether you like the concept or not today, in the eyes of a dedicated Muslim, every person in this room, because you live in America, you live in the House of War. We have not adopted Islamic religion. We have not adopted Islamic law, the Sharia law. We have not adopted Islamic culture. We all then live in the House of War. Muhammad said that if you're in a place of war, you can use deception because war is deceit. That's number one. Number two, Muhammad said this, you can use deception or lying in order to reconcile between two feuding parties. In other words, if you're the referee of a feud and there's two people that are mad at each other, if you can bring them to peace, even if you have to lie to get it settled, just tell a whopper. Tune this way, please. What does that do to peace treaties with Arab Islamic peoples in the Middle East. Absolutely impossible. Because they've been given permission to lie. If they can broker peace through a lie, go ahead and broker the peace. There's a third point at which Muhammad gives permission to lie, and that is men are allowed to lie to their wives in order to please them. I'm making no comment on that. Let's move right along. You've got to understand he had many, many wives, so he had to be a fast talker. There can be no doubt about it. He permitted his followers to lie under those circumstances. Point two, Muslims are expected to use deceit to advance the Islamic cause in non-Muslim nations. Now, again, I'm quoting from experts here. Quote, if a believer, that is a Muslim, is in a land where he is weaker, let him go by the virtue of patience, forgiving and pardoning those of the Jews and the Christians who hurt Allah and his messenger, in other words, Muhammad, and he shall lie to them. If that was a way of preserving his life and religion, this is Ibn Taymiyyah, a sheikh of Islam and one of their primary commentators and theological scholars. Go ahead and lie. If you live in America and Americans say, hey, your religion's a bloody religion. Hey, you're beheading people. Lie to them and say, oh, that has nothing to do with the religion of Islam. By the way, one of the master liars was a man named Sayyid Mohammed Said, who at one point was the Secretary General of the Islamic Society of North America. In the newspaper, when all the beheadings were taking place on the internet and people were watching that mess on the internet, Sayyid Mohammed Said said that there is no tradition of beheading in Islam. Liar. Liar. The pages of the Quran drip with the blood of those beheaded in the cause of Allah. Muhammad himself commanded that his followers strike at the neck of those who do not follow his teaching. I had an Islamic missionary, someone from Egypt, come over here to the United States. By the way, he was being tailed by the FBI. You say, preacher, how do you know? The FBI called me. They knew all about a meeting that I had scheduled with this man privately. He met with me in my office. I asked him about the beheading. He's a dedicated Muslim. He's here to convert people to his religion. I said, what about all this beheading? He smiled and he said, oh, you Americans, you don't understand beheading. Beheading is Allah's mercy. Oh, my soul. I don't want none of that. He said, we have to kill those who don't believe, but if we behead them, he said, that's the most painless of death. It's a mercy to behead. But they'll lie. This young man was honest about his religion, but Mr. Sayyid Mohammed Said lied in the newspaper. Here's another quotation, by the way, well-known quotation from a contemporary Islamic theologian. He said, if you are incapable of cutting off the hand of your enemy, then kiss it. Oh, Pastor, but I have Muslim neighbors and they're so charming. By the way, I'm talking about religious people here. There's a great confusion. Someone said, oh, Pastor, this is racial. Would you please tune in? Islam is not a race. It is a religion. It spans all races. There are Caucasian people. There are Oriental peoples. There are African peoples involved in the religion of Islam. The whole goal is for it to be universally accepted among all the races. When I speak about this, I'm not speaking of a race. I am speaking of a religion. So whether they are African-American Islamics living next door to you, whether they are white Islamics living next door to you, whether they are Arab-American Islamics living next door to you, my simple statement is this. I'd be careful how much I trust them because their religion teaches they can lie. I'd just be wise about that. I'd be wise about it. Let's move on. Back page. If Muslims, this is another quotation. By the way, this quotation, Mark A. Gabriel. What a great book, Journey into the Mind of an Islamic Terrorist. Interesting book, a real page-turner. Mark A. Gabriel, not his real name. He had to change his name. He was a professor of Islamic studies in Egypt. He is an expert with a PhD. He grew up as an Islamic. He was part of the Muslim movement. He studied all of this. He became a religious leader. He became a professor. One day it dawned on him that the God of all the universe could not be responsible for the bloodshed and mayhem that follows Islam wherever it goes. And this man, Gabriel, he changed his name. Mark A. Gabriel converted to Christianity. He changed his name so his family wouldn't be killed because of all the pressure that is upon him. Now he's written several books, and they're well-documented books. Mr. Gabriel says this, quote, "If Muslims show acceptance, friendliness, and sociability toward their enemy, the enemy should not be lulled into thinking they are completely safe and sound from them." Don't be lulled into it. You know what happened? Watch this. 20 years ago, the British Isles were lulled into the idea that these people who were coming and building mosques were okay, that it was safe and sound. Nothing's going to happen. They're peaceful. They're blending in. France, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, was lulled into the idea that we should open up our borders wide and invite these people to immigrate freely. And I'm not speaking of races. I'm talking about people with a religious background to immigrate freely into their country. And now their culture is nearing extinction in France. You follow me? They will come in sociable, charming, sweet, and kind. And that is all part of the program. Because when you have adopted a religion of lies, you have bought into Satan's philosophy, and it is nothing to lie in relation to your religion. Which brings me to Ingrid. Ingrid Mattson. She is the newly elected president of the Islamic Society of North America, headquartered in Plainfield, Indiana. She is part, I believe, of an Islamic ploy to deceive gullible Americans. Why? She presents the softer side of Islam. After all, she's a woman. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe a woman has been elected to this position as president. Islam must be a very progressive belief system. Nothing could be further from the truth. She is, as I will call her, the pretty face of a very ugly religious system. Can she be trusted? In the light of the commands of Allah through Muhammad, the false prophet Muhammad, in the light of those commands to deceive, in the fact that the religion promotes deception in the house of war in which we live, I will submit to you that no one with half a brain would trust one word that Ingrid has to say. You say, Pastor Ingrid, that's not a very Islamic name. No, I'm glad you noticed. She grew up in Canada. She was a Roman Catholic girl who loved her church, loved her faith, loved the artwork that she saw on the walls and the statuary when she entered the church building. But in her high school years, somewhere, for some reason, she says, by her own testimony available to you on the internet, she says she lost her faith. She later went on to college, a secular university. She studied philosophies and fine art. It was while she was touring in Paris, France, the Louvre Museum, that she met for the first time some Islamic individuals, a man she came to know. And after a little while, they dated and soon were married. She found that he was a dedicated Islamic member of Islam, a believer in Islam, dedicated follower. Now pause there for a moment. As brilliant as this woman is, she has many degrees and she's a good writer. I've read a lot of her material. As brilliant as she is, understand that when she converted to Islam, she did not do so strictly from an intellectual standpoint. She converted to Islam with the pressure of romance. Does everybody follow what I'm saying here? In other words, to me, it would be unlikely that she would have converted to Islam had she not found a romantic interest in this particular individual. The shame of it is, because she does have a brilliant mind, that she never converted to Jesus Christ as her Savior. That's the shame of it. She was searching for something. She fell in love with this guy. She converted to Islam. They married. And today she has been elevated to this prominent position. Oh, Pastor, she looks so sweet. Just remember, her holy book, the Quran, insists that she lie about her religion. Just remember that. Understand, it has the fingerprints of Satan all over it. Very quickly now, and I'll close. Religion, Islam as a religion, is one of murder and death. We said that the devil, according to John 8, verse 44, has two primary agendas. We've dealt with lying and deception. The second one is murder or death. the devil's religion would incorporate murder and death. Why? Beginning early in his religious career, that is how Muhammad seized riches and promoted his teaching. He was essentially driven out of the city of Mecca. He made a flight to the city of Medina or Medina, where he was able to broker a peace agreement between two differing factions. His brokering of this peace agreement elevated him to a position of prominence. He now had the political clout he needed to weld with his growing religious clout. And in Medina, he kind of rose to power as a significant individual. And in order to finance his war machine, he began raids on the Meccan camel caravans that would head out of Mecca. He was angry with Mecca. They had rejected his message. And so his followers raided the caravans. And guess what? They kept all the money. You say, preacher, what's that called? In any culture, it's called stealing. That's all. But that's how they grew financially. You say, what happened? As his power increased, so did his ruthlessness. He personally oversaw the beheading of 700 male Jews once he rose to complete power in the city of Medina or Medina. You say, why did he do that? Because this tribe refused to convert to his new religion. And it was there in the city of Medina that the bloodbath began. And since then, everywhere where Islam has been promoted, it has been a bloodbath. The first 650 years of Islam, where in the words of Dr. Mark Gabriel, an unrelenting bloodbath. Muhammad's successor, this would be the first caliph, Muhammad's successor, Abu Bakr, even slew 80,000 Muslims who refused to pay tax. That is how he wielded power after the death of Muhammad. And since then, wherever it has gone, by the way, I couldn't go into it because it's too lengthy. The history of Islam has always been one of blood and murder. Now watch this. Jesus said that the devil is a murderer. When somebody kills somebody for a religious purpose, that is murder. It is never right to kill over religion. Did you ever hear that? Do you hear that? Christians, by the way, are never commanded to kill for our faith. We are to preach the gospel, and willing souls will receive Christ as their personal Savior. But the bloodbath of Islam has always been one of violence and murder. Point C, the Quran commands Muslims to engage all unbelievers or non-Muslims in physical warfare known as holy jihad. Now, I want everyone's attention. You're going to need these verses. Someone's going to ask you, well, I don't know if that religion really teaches killing people. Now listen carefully, please. I've given you the verse references. However, there are multiple versions in the English language of the Quran. You go down to B. Dalton or Barnes & Noble down here, and you'll find the Quran. Someone said, well, Pastor, I looked up a reference you gave me, and it wasn't the right reference. No, the reference was from the version that I am quoting. If you have a version of the Quran and it's not the right reference, check the verse ahead of it or the verse behind the reference number I give you. All the different English versions, the verses are numbered differently, but it's all right in the same neighborhood. So you may have to read it two verses up or two verses down, but you can find this, all of these quotations. Did the Quran command violence? Yes, it did. Point number one, fight them until there is no more tumult, seduction, or oppression, and there prevail justice, faith in Allah, and the religion becomes Islam. Fight them. Surah 2, 193. Every hijacker on 9/11 knew that verse by heart and took it for reality. Point two, Surah 8, 13 and 17. I will instill terror into the infidels. Terrorism is uniquely an Islamic feature of their religion because Muhammad said it was essential to instill terror into your heart. Why do they want to make us afraid? Because Surah 8, verses 13 and 17 say, I will instill terror into the infidels, smite them above their necks, that is, cut their heads off, smite all their fingertips off them. It is not you who slay them, but Allah. Talk about a way of deadening someone's conscience. How could anybody, Pastor, kill all of these people? Their book teaches that when they commit murder, it is not they that do it, but Allah. That they are an extension of the hand of Allah.
And when you preach that to someone long enough and cause them to believe that deeply enough, they lose all sense of conscience and they become nothing but an animal. The 9/11 hijackers were highly skilled, highly trained, highly educated animals who viewed themselves as the hand of Allah. Think about this if you have neighbors that are part of this religion. This is in their holy book. Surah 9:5, slay the idolaters, that's all of us because we don't accept Allah. Slay the idolaters wherever you find them. Arrest them, besiege them, lie in ambush everywhere for them. Where does all this spring from, preacher? I mean, you've got these people in Pakistan doing it. You've got these people in Kosovo doing it. You've got these people in Palestine doing it. You've got these people here. It's all over the world. Where does it spring from? It has one common source, this religion. Surah 9:14, kill the infidels. God will torment and cover them with shame. And we've been told it's a religion of peace. Millions have died by the sword of Allah. And these very verses I'm reading. Surah 9:73, again from the Quran. Prophet, make war on the infidels and the hypocrites and deal rigorously with them. Hell shall be their home in evil fate. If the Prophet did it, his followers do it as well. Surah 48:29, Muhammad is Allah's prophet. Those who follow him are ruthless to the infidels but merciful to one another. Surah 66:9, Prophet, make war on the unbelievers and the hypocrites and deal sternly with them. The Hadith, chapter 9, verse 4, wherever you find infidels, kill them, for whoever kills them shall have reward on the day of resurrection. Hadith of Sahih Muslim 19, verse 4294, fight against those who disbelieve in Allah, make holy war. Now pause there for a moment. I want every eye back on John chapter 8. You've got to see this, and I'll close. Every eye back on John chapter 8. I have quoted accurately from primarily the Quran, some from the Hadith, and a few times from the teachings of contemporary and well-respected Islamic scholars. Every one of my quotations will stand the test of scrutiny, so go ahead and scrutinize it if you would like. But having stated that Islam is a religion of deception, and indeed it is, not accepting the Jesus of the Bible, and having stated that Islam is a religion of murder, and indeed it is, it has been a bloodbath from its foundation. Look again at John 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. If you're of Satan, you're going to practice the lusts of Satan. What are they? Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. According to the very words of Jesus, who said that the devil's agenda is to lie and to kill, according to the words of Jesus, I can say today that Islam, the world's fastest growing religion, the religion that knows 150,000 converts in the United States of America every year, that religion was spawned by the intent and heart of Satan, that its origins are hell, and that it is indeed Satan's masterpiece, because it deceives men and women as to who Jesus is. It denies what Jesus did when he died on the cross for our sin. It perverts the concept of the gospel. It promotes lying and deception and dishonesty for any reason that will advance the cause of Islam. And it has been a murderous bloodbath from the moment of its inception. Is it a religion of peace? No, my friend. It is a religion of Satan. Islam is Satan's masterpiece. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today and its clarity. Thank you, Lord, that you did not leave us in question as to what the devil would attempt to do. And we understand, Lord, from the Bible today that Satan's agenda is alive and well in this earth. in many places, but Lord, glaringly so in the religion known as Islam. Thank you, Lord, that increasingly Americans are coming to understand that there is something deeply wrong with this belief system. But Father, I pray that you would help us as Christian people to be a witness to the truth of Christ. Lord, these folks live among us, and we're leery of them, and for good reason. But Father, we must be militant in our seeking to win them to Jesus Christ, to tell them of the Jesus of the Bible, who is the loving Savior of the world, who died for their sins. Father, help us to understand that that missionary impetus must beat in each of our hearts. And Father, I pray today that if there are any that have come our way that do not know Christ, we live in uncertain days. Help them, Lord, to trust you as their Savior this day. We pray it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.